This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day. It's Trader Nick in the United States. Nick, good afternoon from London. Good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good morning.
We've had the latest UK CPI numbers today, which make actually quite good reading. Food prices are rising at their slowest rate in nearly 2 years. And there has been a bit of a supermarket price war, which has helped drive down prices. But bearing in mind the higher fuel, oil and energy prices we've seen over the last few months because of the Middle East war, this is actually encouraging reading, although there's a big caveat to that, which is, well, we're now seeing much higher oil prices, so those haven't been baked in yet.
That's right. And I think you set that up well, because you have simultaneously like good news from the prior month's period while we watch gas prices, you know, rise again here as the latest round of uncertainty in the Middle East. It seems to be very rapidly escalating, at least just reading the headlines and watching the oil price. Just for reference, before we get into the inflation stats, oil is up another 2.5% today. It's pressing towards $87 a barrel at the time of recording this. I'm looking at U.S. oil, of course. But that is from the lows. Just to give some context here, that's a 30% rise. That is no joke in an increase in, down the pipeline, some inflationary pressures there as well. But in the meanwhile, as you mentioned, CPI year over year for the UK came in at 2.6% versus 2.7% forecasts. That's the headline number. The previous headline number was 2.8%. And headline, what I'm clarifying for listeners is, of course, you mentioned food prices, food and energy are factored in here. And that is especially promising, given that, of course, the most volatile aspect in all of this is, of course, the price of oil here recently. And of course, food as well, as, you know, not only do we have the Iran-US stuff going on, we simultaneously have escalations happening in the Ukraine and Russian circumstance. And if there's one thing I've learned here, Johnny, in the last few years of our podcast excursions on all these geopolitical conflicts, is that these things keep seemingly coming to a close and then they press on. And it has been, how many times have we covered, you know, the Putin and Ukraine coming to a close, and then we see 3 months later things are still going. And it seems like a similar narrative is taking place now with the US-Iran conflict. That said, the inflationary numbers for not just the UK, but also Canada earlier this week were promising. They were lighter than expected. And we know, of course, that US CPI and PPI came in soft as well. So on one hand, you kind of have the angel and the devil story on your shoulder here, because on one hand, you have good inflation numbers for June looking backwards here, but we have simultaneously a sharp rise in oil prices in July. What is promising about this, though, is that it seems like prices are not, you know, you even mentioned it off camera here, off recording, that, you know, you noticed the store prices not going up dramatically. It didn't feel like, you know, and that is tangible. And I would encourage listeners, those are real world anecdotal evidence points that I think are worth paying attention to. Keep an eye on sticker prices at the store, and you can oftentimes kind of just sense out or feel out what the experience of the consumer is, as we all are doing that. So that is worth keeping an eye on as well. But I do think that as this oil price continues to threaten getting back into the 90s and beyond, things start to kind of bleaken in terms of this inflationary positive number story. If oil is back to $95 a barrel in a week and a half's time from now, then suddenly you have a situation where it's like, okay, great, June's numbers were good, but July's numbers are going to be rough with such a steep price rise in oil, which of course contributes to the prices of everything else. It does take some time for new or higher oil prices, et cetera, to factor into the prices that we see in the store. So we'll have to keep an eye on the producer price index numbers or PPI statistics that come out to give us an idea of down the pipeline what producers or wholesalers further up the supply chain are seeing and feeling within the changes in prices. But one thing is for sure, a sharp rise in oil prices will be felt in the supply lines that go across getting everything onto our, you know, store prices that we see as consumers.
And with these rising oil price numbers, we're actually seeing yields go up right across the board, right in the United States, the UK, and in Japan.
Yeah, and I think that getting too comfortable here is challenging, because when you look at the two-year yield, for example, it's up 1% today. We're at the highest level I checked this morning since February of 2025. So what is that telling you? That's telling you that the market itself, the bond market, is saying, okay, we're going to get some rate hikes here to combat this new challenge that we're seeing in the Middle East. So yes, those inflationary numbers we just discussed, they're promising, but they're kind of just holding back the storm that seems to be coming in terms of higher prices. And so as we look at the two-year yield, the 10-year yield, the 20 and the 30, dramatically higher here in the last few weeks for the US, it doesn't stop there. We also see for Europe, it's reaching back to its highs that we've seen for multiple years. Same with the UK. UK is near a high at 5% on the 10-year gilt there. So you have a situation where what's going on? Well, higher oil prices, but also the Bank of Japan, who is a very big net treasury buyer, which of course is what keeps yields under control, is increasingly perceived to be, you know, potentially a net seller of U.S. treasuries or continuing to sell U.S. treasuries to support the Japanese yen. That's a big story. And I think keeping a close eye on that is worth watching, because right now we see the dollar yen extending to its highest level in many years at 163 versus the dollar. So that potentially makes the Bank of Japan uncomfortable and willing to maybe step in and support the currency. We've said that for a while, and it seems like a perpetual higher high, higher low story on the dollar versus the Japanese yen. But if at some point, you know, we see Japan having the need or wanting to step in and support their own bonds, their own, currency, et cetera, that makes them a net seller of treasuries. And as we know, a net seller of U.S. treasuries is sort of a net seller of treasuries globally, because again, it just takes out the floor in terms of the bid here for U.S. bonds. So will be very interesting to continue to watch that. And I also think that that plays a piece of the puzzle in why gold is higher here today. People are a little uncertain about national debts globally. And that is why, despite oil up 2.7%, yields moving higher today, dollar holding up firm, we have gold up almost 2% on the day. So you have a situation here where maybe gold is sniffing out some worries about the bond market globally, rising yields, et cetera, and perhaps calling on what's going on with national debts globally and saying, you know, hey, gold's down 29%. Stocks are concentrated on the AI story. We have conflict in the Middle East. Maybe investors are looking at other places to spread out their risk, perhaps.
Nick, thanks very much for joining us today. We'll speak again on Friday.
Thanks, Johnny. Speak to you then.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.